Rock of Ages, cleft for me. That first song, in times like these, when we had our preacher's meeting in Sturgis, we had a black lady come several years in a row, and she sang that very song. And the reason I say she was a black lady is they can sing. Amen? That they've written spirituals, and I mean, those are great songs. We had the men's choir, black choir from Pacific Guard Mission come. And it was worth the whole day, you know. But this lady would sing that song, in times like these, we need a savior. One verse is, in times like these, we need an anchor. And then, in times like these, we need the Bible. Be very sure your anchor holds, you know, on that rock. But that was a great, great song. And it's these songs, just let them get in. You know, just let them into your heart. They'll really excite you. Take your Bible, Luke chapter 13. We'll read a few verses there. Luke chapter 13. I better put these peanut butter crackers away. They look tempting. Luke chapter 13. In Sunday school today, and after this service, of course, we're going to have a series begin on the history of the church. And I think that's going to be a real blessing. I brought a picture and I put it down here in front of the pulpit for today, just to get our minds on that, to get a visual of how God down through the ages has preserved his word, had his messengers that taught and preached the Bible. And I think it's so appropriate when we look at something like that to think of preaching. I put a number of verses down on preaching because that's what's involved in a local church. We teach the Bible, we fellowship, and we'll look at all of that in the scripture, but we'll see what the church was involved in back in the book of Acts. Let me just read a few verses. In Jonah 3:2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach the preaching that I bid thee. God said that to the prophet Jonah. There was a great revival. His message was on repentance. Matthew 3:1, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching, and he was preaching, repent to the nation. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching. There's a distinction between teaching and preaching. Somebody said, preaching is just you'll yell a little bit louder than teaching. And I don't know if that's true, but there is teaching and there is preaching. The Old Testament prophets were told to lift up their voice like a trumpet and declare unto my people their sin. And sometimes, you know, we come to church and I really try to feed and encourage and lift up. Sometimes there are times that you preach against sin. I don't know if that's a thing of the past anymore, but it needs to be done because it's biblical. Amen? You have Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Acts 8:12, and when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. The preaching produced something. It produced a decision in their life. Acts 15:35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. There's the distinction again. They are both there. In Ephesians chapter 4, the church, there are gifts given to the church. And obviously in this age, there are pastors and teachers. I am the gift to the church. Amen. That's my wife clapping over there. But there are teachers and preachers, teachers and pastors, and we need all of that. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. So the cross needs to be preached. 1 Corinthians 1:21. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You have, there's so many. 1 Corinthians 2:4. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words as with man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. Preaching. God is behind that. 1 Corinthians 15:14. Easter's coming up. Amen. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. But we believe he's alive. And because he lives, we live. So it's easy to bring that message, because that's the message of the cross. That's the message of the open tomb, because Christ is alive. 2 Timothy 4:17, notwithstanding, Paul said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by the preaching, that Christ would be made known unto all. You have Titus 1:3, hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. If there's ever been a time that the church needed to be serious about its calling and its cause, it's now. There are so many false doctrines. There are so many different paths to follow. And there is one way to God. Amen. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ. And that needs to be preached. Paul told young Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Just tickle our ears. So again, the instruction was preach the word. We told in Amos chapter 8 about a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. I think we're living in that day. I want to read this before we get into our text. Ezekiel 33, beginning in verse 31. And this was Old Testament, but this was the principle. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. Preaching is designed to draw people to a decision. Amen? So the cross is preached, and the decision is accept the cross, reject the cross. Whatever God says, God's always right. Amen? And that's why he gives us his word. And his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Taking heed to it. Being a doer of the word. So anytime the Bible is preached, and believe me, it is foolishness. I mean, for me to be up here telling you, but I'm just representing God, and I just want to use the Bible. I might tell a story or do that, but I want to embellish the scripture. Amen? But this is God speaking. And God has done that for centuries. He's done it year after year after year, and he always raises up preaching. And so there's a church and there's preaching. Sometimes our churches get too social, and then people leave a church because it's not social enough. Where the purpose of the church is not just social. It is there, certainly. And a wonderful name, Fellowship Bible Church. And we do have fellowship one with another, but our fellowship is with the Son, first of all. And that knits our hearts together. Look with me at Luke chapter 13, and we'll go ahead and get started here. Verse 23. This is what the Lord said. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Take your Bibles and go back to Matthew chapter 7. There's a similar portion there. Matthew chapter 7, a little bit to the left, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? God is not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will. God wants you to be saved. That's why he sent his Son into the world. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But look what we've done. Look what we're doing. It's not about that. Salvation is a change of the heart that produces something. It's not we work out here and that produces something in our heart. It starts in the heart. And back up just a little bit, verse 13 of that chapter, chapter 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Don't always follow the multitude to do evil. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And I want to talk today a little bit about the few. Because God can do great things with just a little bit. Little as much when God is in it. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we praise you today for the privilege we all have to be in church today. To open your word, to speak it, to hear it, to glory in it. It's your word and the price that has been paid all down through the ages that we would have this liberty and privilege today. We thank you. God bless and give great liberty, power, wisdom to the preaching and to the hearing of your word that you might be honored and glorified today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I had in my notes a little page from the Daily Bread. This has to be 20 years old, at least 20 years old. And he gives a scripture reference. I don't know if you get our Daily Bread, but it's a neat little devotional. But this is an old one, but look at how appropriate this is. In April 1937, Mussolini's invading armed armies forced all the missionaries serving in Wallamo region to flee Ethiopia. They left behind just 48 Christian converts who had little more than the Gospel of Mark to feed their growth. Few even knew how to read. But when the missionaries returned 4 years later, the church had not just survived, it numbered 10,000. True story. When the Apostle Paul was forced to leave Thessalonica, he yearned to learn about the survival of the small band of Christians he left behind. We'll look at some of that in Sunday school. But when Timothy visited the Thessalonian church later, he brought word to Paul in Athens about their faith and love. They had become examples to the believers in the surrounding regions in Macedonia and Achaia. Paul never claimed credit for any numerical increase in his ministry, nor did he attribute it to anyone else. Rather, he gave credit to God. He wrote, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Difficult circumstances may thwart even our best intentions, separating friends from each other for a season, but God is growing his church through every difficulty. We need only him to be faithful and leave the results to him. We need only to be faithful and leave the results to him. And here's the prayer. Lord, we are so prone to be fearful when we face opposition, yet so often we want to take credit for every little success. Help us see that you are the one who blesses and builds your church. Amen. I thought that was a real blessing. And that kind of kick-starts the message today. These are the thoughts that we have. I think it's such a privilege to be a part of a church. It's such a privilege to be a Christian. It's such a privilege to know God and even to believe the Bible. They're just a blessing. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, many are called, but few are chosen. I am so excited this morning because last week, this is what I got in the mail. I got a thing from a car dealership, and it said, if you peel these things off and you match three of them, that you can win something. And so I peeled them off, and they had all these prizes, and I peeled off, and it showed three cars. And that means that I would win $100,000 or two cars. And then I kept reading. And I read a little bit further. And now what I had to do was go to the dealership and turn that in for a chance to win three cars. Man, I've got a chance to win two cars or $100,000. Not only that, I mean, this was a super week. Publishers Clearing House. I have a chance. I really do. I have a chance to win $5,000 a week for the rest of my life. Man, I am flying high. Yes, sir. No. Boy, that didn't take long to decide that, did that? And you think, what are the odds, you know? And you look at that. But listen, we are so privileged. God has called us, amen? And we said yes. And we've received Jesus as our Savior, and we are a part of the family of God. No, Gino, no, no. You can cry. I don't care if you're crying on the front pew. It's not going to work. We are blessed today, are we not? And in 1 Samuel chapter 14, Jonathan and his armor bearer, Jonathan was Saul, King Saul's son, and they were fighting against the Philistines. And the armor bearer, his name is not given us in the Bible, and that's okay. God gets the credit, amen? But Jonathan took his armor bearer, and this is what the Bible says in verse 6 of that chapter. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised." They were Gentiles. They were obviously lost, heathenistic. "It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." He can be saved by many. He can save by few. I think that's a blessing. And so it says later on in that chapter, they defeated 20 soldiers, just Jonathan and his armor bearer. The Lord can win great victories with just a few. Gideon's 300. Amen. David. Nobody else would go and fight the giant, but David did. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, beginning in verse 14, here's another story. "There was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength." The key word is wisdom. Just a few. What can God do in a church? What can God do in a city? What can God do in a country with some wise men that know God? And history bears that out over and over and over. The Lord can defend a church against the attacks of Satan with just a few have that wisdom. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12. They're coming back from Babylonian captivity. Nehemiah is going back to Jerusalem. He's involved in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And in chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, "And I arose at night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon them. Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." There was a lot of opposition. If you read the book of Nehemiah, you will see that. But God used those wise men, and their instruction helped that city to be rebuilt. God can give a vision to a few that would involve a lot of people. Amen? And when God began to work that out, I mean, think of the results and the excitement. I think testimonies are just great. I love to hear testimonies because those listening to testimonies see what God can do in their life. And thank you for that testimony today. And we think of William Cowper. I mean, God can do so many things with so many people. Little as much when God is in it. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, this is David. He's come now to the battle, and nobody will fight the giant Goliath. I mean, nobody. And so David shows up, and he says, well, I'll do it. And here's what his older brother said in verse 28 of 1 Samuel 17. "Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Why did Eliab get so upset? I think he was mad because he wouldn't do it. I mean, what about you, Eliab? You're the older brother, you know? So here's David. But the point is, who did you leave those few sheep with? David wouldn't just leave them unattended. Amen? They were important to him. And that little bit that God gave him to do out there in the fields and playing on his harp and worshiping God and just taking care of those few sheep allowed him to be used in a great battle and deliver a whole nation. Be faithful where you are. Be faithful in the little things, and you'll be faithful in the bigger things. Amen? I mean, they're just principle after principle here. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, and he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and healed them. This is Jesus, and he couldn't do a great work because there was a lack of faith. They didn't believe. But these few sick folk believed. Amen? I'm glad to be one of them. I'd rather be identified. It's better to be, a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And just to be faithful to God, but realizing my need of God, those are the people God's looking to help. Amen? And I think we're all needy here today, all of us, but some people might not know it. But when we come to the place where I need salvation, I need God, I need something in my life, that's when God works. Amen? And we all need that. Sometimes we look at other places for answers to our problems. Just go to Barnes & Noble, right? And you got this book for idiots. Isn't it idiots? Yeah. Dummies. Oh. Dummies, idiots. Right. I guess there is a difference. So now on in your car, don't call them idiots, call them dummies, you know? But there's all of these self-help books. What happened to God? Well, I think I'll figure this out on my own. I think this only a few sick folk were healed because they came to the great physician. Nobody else could heal them. Amen? Well, I tried this, the woman with the issue of blood. I spent all my living, all of it. None better, but rather grew worse until she touched the hem of his garment. There are only a few people. Wouldn't it be wonderful at every time we got together and God ordains a message from his word and it's his book, amen, that everybody could be healed of something? I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual, emotional. God can do something in our life. But sometimes only a few go home with a changed life. Mark chapter 8, verse 7. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. A few small fishes. He fed 4,000 people. There's another place where he fed 5,000, but this one says 4,000. 7 loaves, 3 fishes, that's what they had. They ended up with 7 baskets full after they fed 4,000. Little is much when God is in it. Amen. He can save by many, or he can save by few. God can hit an awful hard lick with a crooked stick if the stick belongs to him. Amen? And we are a bunch of crooked sticks. God can hit an awful hard lick with a crooked stick if the stick belongs to him. God can reap a great harvest. The Bible says in Luke 10:2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Well, we don't have enough people involved, but we have some. Rejoice in that. Amen? We have Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 22. Love this verse. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Paul said that. This is the book of Hebrews. 13 chapters. What a book. It's a lot of people's favorite book in the whole Bible. Hebrews. In a few words. In those few words, in 13 chapters in Hebrews, transform your life. Absolutely transform your life. There's power in those words. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's in that book. And I mean, it opens the whole Bible up. There's a history in there. There's promises in there. There's reality, spiritual reality there, that if we just read it, amen? Just read it and then apply it, God could do so many great things. God can say a lot in a few words. He can say a lot in a few words. Revelation 3:4, thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. This is in Revelation 3, chapter 2 and 3. You have the seven churches mentioned, and God is speaking to every one of them. And he says, there's a few names in Sardis. And I wonder if that was spoken of our church. Would our name be in there? So much can be done for the Lord. Gil writes this. He said, God will have a few in whom he will be glorified in the most declining times. He said that years and years and years ago. These are declining times. But God has a purpose. God has a work. God has an opportunity for us. And the Lord knows and takes notice of these few. And for their sake, the church is kept up. The gospel and its ordinances are continued. The church goes on because of maybe the few. It could be more than, it could be everybody. Amen? But I want to be in that number. I remember in Sturgis, and I had reason I mentioned that so much because I was there so long, and that's where all my illustrations come from. So I'll just start saying when I pastored before. Amen? But we had some men in a factory there, Grumman Olson, and everybody's getting laid off, but they weren't getting laid off. And they were praying that their job would still be there. And I believe that God kept the place open just to keep those guys working. That's just my thought. Throw it in there. Back to the sermon. Amen. Matthew 25, 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. The Lord said that. Amen? I take him at his word. It's a blessing. The few, the proud, the Marines. I think Ron is a Marine, isn't he? I was hoping he'd be here today. But I guess he had to go fishing. Amen? No. He's in Arizona. I forgot these are all recorded. And he was a Marine. So... No, we love you, Ron. God bless you. Most faithful man I ever met in my entire life. Spiritual, too. John 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. God has chosen us for his work. Amen? That's what the church is about. Would anybody here today like to be fruitful for God? And I would say, if so, raise your hand, but don't. If you want to be fruitful for God, guess what? God will make you fruitful. He will do it. He'll work through you. It is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The fruit isn't us. It's us being in the hand of God. Amen? And God can use us. It's so simple. Isaiah 6, 8. Isaiah the prophet says, after being so critical in the first five chapters, he was critical. In verse 6, in verse 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Okay, so God says, who will do this and who will do this? It's a volunteer. Amen? Here am I, send me. And then it's up to God. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Samuel. Chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll read a portion of scripture there. This is about Samuel and how he heard the voice of the Lord. Samuel was a great prophet, great, great prophet. And you can read 1st, 2nd Samuel. You see the work that he did. Nobody's perfect, but he was a great prophet for the Lord. Beginning in verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. You know the story? His mother was barren, and God blessed, and she gave this child back to the Lord. And so he's at the temple now with Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. The Lord called Samuel, and Samuel said, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." God is calling. And Samuel is saying, "Here am I." But Samuel runs to Eli. He goes to Eli. Second time. Verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for thy servant." The next verse says, "And the Lord said to Samuel," and then you have what he says to Samuel. That portion of scripture means a lot to me and my circumstances here at the church, because three times, "Go pastor that church, I'm not sure that's you, Lord. I just wasn't sure." And that was my insecurities, and that wasn't your prayers, it was my insecurities. And second time, "Well, I think it's this and I think it's that." And finally, when it was the Lord, okay, amen. I don't know if you've ever done that. You know, this voice is saying something, and you know, well, is this God? Is this God? Or who is this? But when you finally know it's God, I mean, you know it's God. It might not even be something that, "Wow, I don't want to do that," but it's God. "I have not chosen him, but he has chosen me and ordained me that I should go and bring forth fruit, and that my fruit should remain." Think of the fruit. Think of the labors that could be in the harvest. Think of what could be done for Almighty God. That's such a blessing. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord. "Here am I, send me." Samuel heard the voice of the Lord. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Don't show this world a negative attitude. Don't show this world off-color speech. Don't show this world an immoral life. Don't show this world sin. This world needs to see the Christian is a light. The Christian is in love with God. The Christian knows that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them where they're called according to his purpose. Amen? I mean, that's what God wants to do. That's what we are called to do. I could read it again, but no need to. Would anybody here today desire to honor God with your life? Of course. 2 Timothy 2:4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Would you like to be in the Lord's army? God chose you to be a soldier. 1 Corinthians 1:27, "God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen." Why? "That no flesh should glory in his presence. Because of him is given to us wisdom and sanctification and redemption and knowledge." We get it all from God. But look what he's chosen. Weak, wicked, base. What a crew. Amen? But he's chosen us. He's chosen us. You don't have to be real qualified. Just willing. That's all. Just willing. In these days of salvation, God is calling men to turn to him for salvation. And a lot of people don't, but anybody that does can be saved and their life can be changed. But these are also days of opportunity, aren't they? Great opportunity. You know, back in Numbers chapter 13, the 12 spies are sent in to spy out the land. God's already given them the land. So 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad, 2 were good. 10 had a bad report. The few, Joshua and Caleb, had the right idea. Amen? And they went in and they had to wander in the wilderness, but they stayed alive for those 40 years, and they were able to ultimately go in. I wrote this down from history. Napoleon saw Italy, but not the Alps. If you know anything about that, Napoleon's army crossed the Alps to make a surprise attack, I think, on the Austrians, and they won the battle, and they delivered some of their men that were under duress already over there, but nobody expected him to go across the Alps because it was such a difficult march. And he had an objective. He knew where he was going, and so those mountains didn't get in the way. Those mountains were just a vehicle to take him there. Washington saw the Hessians, those were hired German troops during that war, at Trenton. A man of smaller stature would have seen the Delaware choked with ice. But he crossed the Delaware. He crossed the Delaware December 26th because he knew that's the time. They did it early in the morning, December 26th, because Christmas, the enemy thought, well, nobody's going to cross that river, especially not now. And they went across the Delaware and they won a great victory. And if you look at that history in that war, the Revolutionary War, you will find that the troops were morale. Thank you. That's the word. Their morale was down. And men weren't joining the army. But when they won so great a victory, and most of those Hessians, they far outnumbered Washington's men, but they were taken captive because they were just so taken off guard. And then men started joining the army. What's the old song? Give me some men who are stout-hearted men, and I'll soon give you 10,000 more. Shoulder to shoulder and bolder, they march as they go to the fore. I can't believe I remember that song. But I mean, as they're going to battle, oh, you're going to battle? I'll go with you. And they picked up so many on the way. That's what can happen. Amen? We get involved. We get excited. We get faithful. We say, God, here's my life. Do whatever you want with it, and I will be used of you, and I'll be faithful, and he'll make you fruitful. Amen? The majority see the obstacles, the few see the objectives. History records the successes of the former, while oblivion is the reward of the latter. One day in heaven, God is calling all of us who will be chosen. God needs someone to show kindness to Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake, for Jesus' sake. He needs kindness, doesn't he? A soft answer turneth away wrath. Amen? Here am I, Lord. God needs a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Ezekiel 33 or 32. But he found none. But if he would have found a man to stand in the gap, it would have kept the enemy out. God needs someone on whose behalf he can show himself strong. There's a verse in the Bible like that. God will show himself strong on behalf of any man who trusts him. Here am I, Lord. God needs someone he can fill with his spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. God needs someone he can give a new car to. Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Listen, what God can do with you and through you is worth all the treasure of the world. One soul, am I telling the truth? One soul is worth more than all the treasures, all the riches, all the positions, all the ease of life, all the whatever you want to throw in there. One soul is worth that. Amen? God gave us his word. We give the word to others. Some plant, some water. God gives the increase. I will make you fruitful. Why is there not fruit? Because the seed's not being planted. And Hosea, is the seed yet in the barn? It's in the barn. The seed needs to go out in the field to grow. God needs someone to say, here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me wherever you want me to go with whatever you want me to do. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God's will is, and we want God's will. I've got two little great-grandsons. As they grow up, I want them to know the Lord as their Savior. Amen? They're precious souls. And sometimes we get attached more to family, and that means more, but with God, God's attached to everybody. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Here am I, Lord. So we come to the end of a service, and okay, what did I hear today? Did I hear the pastor? Is that what he wants? Did I hear God? You know, who's speaking to me today? Did a relative tell me something about a service like this? Or is somebody praying for me? Have I heard this before? Maybe in another church, at another service? Who's speaking to me today? It's this verse and this verse and this verse and this verse. I believe it's God. Amen? I believe it's God. And so here's the invitation. Here am I, Lord. That's all you have to say. In Matthew 23, Jesus, who was going to die for that nation, give his life, how often I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathereth her chicks. How often I would have done that. But ye would not. In the Old Testament, God said to Israel, what more could have been done? What more could I have done? And the answer, of course, was God did all that he could. Amen. Volunteer today in your own heart. If you're not saved today, accept Christ. It's not religion. Well, Lord, haven't I done many wonderful things? Haven't I done this and this and this and been this and been this? You say, I never knew you. Because the only way God will know you is through his Son. Amen? Accept Jesus as your Savior. And maybe you're here today and you just want to volunteer for some menial little thing where there's no credit and you're just doing it for the Lord. That's a blessing. Maybe you want to volunteer. God, use me as a witness. God, use me in this area, that area. God, you pick. I don't even want to pick. God, you pick. Guess what? God will use you. I was going to say my wife and I, but she's worthy. I'm not. God picked me to do what I'm doing. You have no idea. No idea how weak, willful. But God I just want him to use me. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here today and you say, God really spoke to my heart today, I'm going to volunteer. Would you slip your hand up? No one's looking around. God bless you. I'm just going to volunteer today. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up. You can put it right back down. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, give him your heart. Give him your life. It's interesting. Samuel came to Eli and said, what's this voice I'm hearing? And Eli said, that's God. Sometimes somebody else can see it for you. Father, bless your word. Please, please bless your word. Bless our homes. Bless our testimony for you. Bless our witness. Bless our church. And however you bless it, Lord, we thank you. Because it's all up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please.